Well, good morning, church. As Pastor Bill said, my name is Ben, and I go to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, and I am going into my last year. So next spring, I will be actually graduating. And as Pastor Bill said, that this is my first time preaching here, so I'm a little nervous. I hope that this is not my last time, but but it really is my honor to be here with you today to deliver God's word. And I don't just say that lightly because that's the right thing to say when you're up on a stage or when you're speaking in front of people. But I do mean it from my heart that it's my honor to be here because I know how unworthy I am and I know how unqualified I am to be here to speak God's word to you. And I mean, because in this room we have pastors. We have Pastor Bill and Pastor Danny. They're like sitting right in front of me right now, right? I feel the pressure's coming. And they're far more equipped than I am and far more ready to preach the word than I am. And also there are people in this room, some of you guys are older than me. I'm 25. And there's some of you who are married now and you have children. And you have experienced more things in life than I have. And so in a sense, you know about life more than me. And there are also others of you who are younger, you're in college, but your zeal and your passion for the Lord, I admire and I get encouraged by every week come to Cornerstone. But honestly, praise God that it's not about the person who's preaching the word, but it's about the word that the person is preaching, right? So today I actually come here with confidence, not in myself or my seminary education, or my grades I have in Greek or Hebrew, but I come today with confidence in the Word of God, that the Bible is powerful enough to transform our lives, that it is enough to train us and to equip us and to shape us to become more like Christ. So I'm here with confidence in the Scripture. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. Again, that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. But we're going to be actually focusing on chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. As you guys turn there, let me just give you guys the context of what we're looking at here. In the previous passage, Apostle Paul just talked about the supremacy of Christ. Right? He talked about how Christ is head of all things, and all things were created by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. And he also says that we have been reconciled through Christ. And Paul says that's the gospel, right? That's the gospel. And Paul ends verse 23 by saying that he has become a minister of this gospel. And the word minister in Greek is diakonos, which literally means a waiter or a servant. So Apostle Paul is not coming from a position of authority, from above, but rather he's coming from below as a servant. He's calling himself a servant of the gospel. And he begins verse 24. Now he's talking about his ministry, right? He's shifting focus. He stopped talking about Christ and the gospel. Now he's talking about his personal ministry to the church. So with that in mind, let's read together our passage today from verse 24. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order, the firmness of your faith in Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me just pray for us. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you that you are alive and that you're with us this morning here in this room. So, Father, would you please speak to us through such an unworthy servant like me, Lord. And Lord, would you glorify yourself? We thank you in your name, we pray. Amen. So when Pastor Bill first asked me to preach, and he told me that I'm going to be preaching from this passage, right? So he emailed me, and when I first saw the email, to be honest, I panicked, because this was the one passage in Colossians that I wanted to avoid. I mean, the reason why I wanted to avoid this passage is because I thought this passage is a little bit more difficult to preach, because this passage does not have any instructional teaching, right? Paul does not say in this passage, he doesn't tell us what to do or what not to do, right? He's straight up talking about himself. And in this passage, Paul uses the word I 9 times. He says, I rejoice, I suffer, I become, and I want. So this is very personal to Paul. And so one of the things that I questioned, I struggled with was, what does this passage mean for us today? Like, I could exposit this text, and I could study this text and find out what Paul's trying to say, but what does it mean for us? And why does Paul's ministry matter to us today, especially today? So, you know, after studying, after preparing this message, I come to conclusion, and I realize that this passage actually, it really matters for us today. And it doesn't matter whether, you know, Cornerstone's your home church or not, or whether you've been Christian for 1 year or 5 years or your whole life, this passage, it's really important for us to understand what it means and how this matters. So what I'm going to do today, I have like less than 25 minutes to preach. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to first give you the exposition of this text, right? Meaning I'm going to talk about what this text means, what Paul is talking about here. And then I'm going to talk about why Apostle Paul's church ministry matters to us today and what that means for us. Okay, so we're going to start with the passage. We're going to talk about three things. First, we're going to talk about the nature of Paul's ministry. And then we're going to talk about the call of Paul's ministry. And then we're going to talk about the content of Paul's ministry. So, the nature of Paul's ministry. The nature of Paul's ministry was that it was full of hardship and sufferings. Paul says in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." And when the Apostle Paul says suffering, I don't think he's only talking about a physical suffering. Although he wrote this letter in the prison cell, I think Paul's also talking about emotional and mental sufferings as well. If you know anything about Apostle Paul, you know that the very people he served questioned Paul's apostolic authority, and they questioned whether Paul knew what he was talking about or not, or they questioned his knowledge, and they even questioned his rights as an apostle over them. And so you know that Apostle Paul has such a difficult ministry. And if you look at it from the outside, you may think that his ministry was glamorous because this guy wrote half of the New Testament, right? And he planted many churches, and he was called an apostle. But if you study and if you look at Paul's life, you know that his ministry was full of sufferings. Apostle Paul also says that his suffering is not for himself, but that it is for others. He said that he suffers for the sake of others, mainly the church. Paul goes on and he says, "And in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking." Are lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. And now if you're like me, you're probably asking, what in the world is Paul talking about by lacking, or if he's filling up what is lacking in Christ? There are actually many different views and interpretations on this verse. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually come back to this verse. I'm going to first finish giving you the exposition of this text, and I'm going to go back to it and share what I think Paul is talking about. It's actually funny because this past summer I led men's small group for Cornerstone, and we actually studied Colossians together. And when we came across this verse, we actually talked about this, and we sat down and we shared what we think Paul is talking about. And some of us got like really creative. I shared with them my view, and I told them that if I ever change my view, that I will let them know. Even if it's like years from later. And I actually want to tell my small group members today that I did change my view, okay? So you need to pay attention, okay? Especially you guys need to pay attention right now. But I think one thing that we can say for sure is that Apostle Paul here is not talking about salvation. This is not a salvific matter. So Paul is not saying that somehow Jesus' work on the cross was not complete. So he's trying to fill up or he's trying to complete what Christ has done. And we are certain, we know that for sure because that view is inconsistent with Paul's theology found in other letters written by Paul. Paul says in Ephesians that we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. Not through faith in Paul, but through faith in Christ. And in other parts of the New Testament, Paul says that we have been redeemed, that we have been saved by the blood of Jesus. Not by the blood of Jesus and Paul, but by the blood of Jesus. And also in the previous passage, Paul talked about the supremacy of Christ, how Christ is head of all things, and how we have been reconciled through Christ, not Paul. So we're going to actually go back to that, but Paul goes on to verse 25. Now Paul's talking about the call of his ministry. Verse 25, Paul writes, I became a minister. Right? The word minister is the same word, diakonos, meaning servant. He's saying, I became a servant according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. So what Apostle Paul is saying is, it's pretty straightforward. He's saying that he has been called by God. So Apostle Paul, he didn't necessarily become a minister because he wanted to. I mean, if you know about Apostle Paul, before he became saved, he used to kill Christians. Right? So there's no way he wanted to become a servant of the church or servant of the gospel. So Paul here is saying that he has been commissioned by God, that he has been called by God to serve the church. Right? Again, I don't know if you see this pattern, but here Paul is saying that he has been called by God to serve the church. He's called for the church. And again, in verse 24, we looked at how Paul suffered for others. He suffered for the church, and now he has been called by God for others. And Paul goes on, and in verse 26 through 28, now here we're talking about the content of Paul's ministry. In verse 25, Paul ends 25 by saying that he became a minister for the church to make the word of God fully known. And in verse 26, Paul is describing what the Word of God is. And he says that the Word of God is this mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. So what did God reveal to his saints? Well, God revealed to his saints how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. So this means that whatever this mystery is, it includes Gentiles as well. That this mystery is not only for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. And in verse 27, Paul says that this mystery is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. In other words, Christ is not only for the Jews, he didn't only come for the Jews, but that he also came for the Gentiles as well. And from verse 28, and specifically going into 28, now Paul is talking about his ministry. Paul says, him we proclaim. This mystery, Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in order that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now, this is Paul's ministry. This is what he's doing. He's proclaiming Jesus Christ, and he's teaching and warning the people, and the purpose of that is to present everyone mature in Christ. In verse 29, Paul says, for this, right, this meaning his ministry, this meaning to present everyone mature in Christ. He says, for this I toil and struggle with the energy and strength that God has given me, Apostle Paul. And we go back to verse 24. Apostle Paul says he rejoices in his sufferings for the church. And he says he rejoices in his suffering because Apostle Paul understands that through his sufferings, and by proclaiming Christ and warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, he is presenting everyone mature in Christ. And I think that's exactly what Paul's talking about when he says he's filling up what is lacking in Christ. I think Apostle Paul is saying that in his flesh, through his suffering, he is extending Jesus' afflictions, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. That he is extending God's mercy to others as well. So thereby, he's filling up what is lacking. And so Apostle Paul's ministry, it wasn't for himself, but it was really for the church. Right? He suffered for the church. He has been called by God for the church. And he proclaimed Christ, and he warned everyone, and he taught everyone for the church so that he could present the church mature in Christ. Now, I just gave you this brief exposition of this text, what this text means and what Paul is talking about, his ministry, and what Paul's ministry was mainly about, right? Proclaiming Christ and presenting everyone mature in Christ, right? But the question remains, so what, right? What does this mean for us? Why does Apostle Paul's ministry matter to us? Something that happened almost about 2,000 years ago. Why does that matter to us today? And why? What does that mean for us? Two things. Apostle Paul's ministry matters to us today because we're also Gentiles receiving God's mercy through Paul's ministry. As Apostle went on missions to Europe and to Asia, and from there how the gospel spread to the rest of the world, we're here today in this room worshiping God as Asian American Christians and as Anglo-American, African-American Christians. We're here today because God used Paul's ministry to reach us and to bring us here. So really, without Paul's ministry, we wouldn't be here worshiping God this day, this Sunday morning. And this passage, and so what does this passage mean for us then? I think this means that we have to be like Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And the word imitate, it's an imperative word, meaning that it is a command. Apostle Paul is not suggesting that we should imitate him or that we may imitate Paul if we want to, but he is saying that, but it's actually saying that we must imitate him. So if you are a follower of Christ today and you are a Bible-believing Christian, then there's no question about it. We must imitate Paul. But when Apostle Paul tells us to imitate him, he's not telling us to imitate his career or his love life or his external things, right? Apostle Paul is not telling us, all of us, to become missionaries overseas, right? He's not telling us to remain single till we die. He's not telling us to follow those external things that he did, but I think what Apostle Paul is telling us to do is to imitate his attitude and to imitate his mind, right? Or to have the same mind as Paul. Paul writes in Philippians 2, he says to the Philippians, have the same attitude and same mind as Jesus. He says, have the same attitude and mind as Christ, who was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on the cross, and therefore God highly exalted him. So we are to imitate Paul's attitude. And the ultimate purpose of imitating Paul is, of course, to be more like Christ. So what can we imitate Paul from this passage? I think we could imitate Paul, his love for the church, and we could imitate Paul's love for the gospel and his love for Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, he loved the church so much to the point that he suffered for them over and over again, and yet he said he rejoices in his suffering. And Apostle Paul, he loved and treasured the gospel so much that he did not hesitate to proclaim this good news, that wherever he went and every opportunity he got, he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul loved Jesus so much to the point that he became obedient to the point of death, just like Christ, how he became obedient to God to the point of death. So we must love the church, love the gospel, and love Christ like Apostle Paul. And today, I'm not going to exactly tell you how we can do that because I think there are many ways we can do it, and it'll look different for each of us. But I think maybe we could start loving our church, start loving the church by serving the church, right? With the gifts and talents that God has given us. Instead of buying into this consumerism mindset where it's all about us, what can church do for me? Maybe we can start serving each other, right? Maybe we can start serving the church with the gifts and talents that God has given us. And maybe we can start loving and treasuring the gospel more by first not being ashamed of it, but by believing its transformational power. I mean, if you know anything about Apostle Paul, you know that before Apostle Paul was saved, he used to kill and persecute the church. But what happened after the gospel? What happened after he got saved? He, instead of killing the church, instead of killing the Christians, he died for the Christian. He died for the church. The gospel has a power to transform lives. So we say with Apostle Paul, Romans 1:16, that we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes in it. So we start believing the transformational power of the gospel. And maybe we can start loving the church more. We can start loving Jesus more by spending more time in prayer, communicating with Christ. And maybe we can start loving Christ by spending more time in the scriptures, listening to God, and getting to know about who Christ is and what he has done for us. And ultimately, we could maybe love Christ more by putting him above all. Right? I mean, that's the title of our sermon series, right? That's to put Christ above all things. Church, I want to encourage all of us today, let's really follow Apostle Paul's example. Right? Let's not forget what Apostle Paul did. Let's not forget his ministry, because it matters for us today. And let's follow Apostle Paul. Let's love the church. Right? Let's love the church that God has called us into. And let's love the gospel, and let's love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this time that we could gather as your church, as your children, to hear your word. Father, I pray, would you continue to be with us, Lord, that you will continue to help us grow in you as a church, as one body, and that we may just follow Apostle Paul's example in loving the church and loving the gospel and loving, ultimately loving you more and more, God. So, Father, would you continue to be with us and guide us and lead us, Lord, and shape us to become more like you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.